Welcome back to Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. Today's episode is a must listen for every parent navigating the whirlwind of college recruiting with their young athletes. Or maybe if you're just hoping to navigate that in some near future. Now, I'm joined once again by recruiting expert and former college coach Quincy Lewis Bugs, and we're unpacking one of the most overlooked and emotionally charged parts of the process, the parent-player dynamic. So, how involved is too involved? What if your athlete wants something totally different than you? And what should you actually be doing during the high school season to help keep recruiting on track without turning every conversation into a stressful one? Quincy shares practical tips like setting up a family recruiting check-in, using side-by-side questionnaires to get on the same page, and how to handle it when your kid's dream school is several states away and freezing cold, like my poor mother had to deal with. So, if you want your athlete to feel empowered while still feeling supported, and you want to play your role well without pushing too hard, then this episode is for you. Welcome to Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. So, thank you again for being on, Quincy. Well,
Absolutely excited to be back.
we know that parents are an important part of the recruiting process. We know that they're there to support their kids, and they also have their own expectations, dreams, and wishes. So, let's start with what is the biggest advice you would have for parents if they are just trying to help their kid navigate the recruiting process? Or
Yeah, so I think parents should almost be like, and I think of going to the beach when I was little, and you play with the little sifter thing in the sand. And so, because your athletes are consuming so much information. And like when we were going through the process, it felt like there almost wasn't enough information. And now it feels like there's too much of, oh, this kid did this on TikTok, so I should try this and I should do this. So I see parents as the ones who the athlete brings the information home, or the parent brings the information home. And then it's, okay, does this make sense for my kid and for her process? And I could line up an entire team of committed seniors right now, and 12 different kids are gonna have 12 completely different ways of getting to the school they got to. So how do we sift through all of the information and all of the support and the advice and the guidance and figure out what actually applies to your kid and her personality, what she wants out of her softball career, but more importantly, what she wants out of her college experience? Because softball is really only a piece of that college experience for most kids.
Yeah, in theory.
In
Shit.
theory. Yep.
It can be. Yeah. All right. And so what is maybe the one number one mistake you see parents making in this process? Either too involved, not involved enough. What are some things?
I see parents reacting a lot versus being proactive. So they'll get to the point. So, for example, like most of the country's in high school season right now. So, parents might wait until the end of high school season and go, well, what coaches have you been reaching out to? Who's on your list? Who do we need to email for the summer? And at that point, find out that their athlete really hasn't been connecting with coaches throughout high school season. And then we hit the panic button because they're reacting versus being proactive. I'm a big have a family meeting person. Like, I am a big believer in, okay, Sunday nights, right after dinner, we're gonna sit down for half an hour and we're just gonna hash this out. What did we do the last 2 weeks? What do we need to do for the next 2 weeks? Where are we at with things? Because if we're being proactive and you're checking in as a family, we don't necessarily get to those very high energy, heated conversations of frustration because we're figuring things out a little at a time over the course of a couple weeks versus just, oh my gosh, your coach told you to do this. I can't believe you haven't done it. Like, now what?
Yeah. And also, the high school season tends to be the busiest season because now they're practicing every day. So most travel kids aren't, at least with their team, practicing every day because literally the ability to play with them is they're all dispersed and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they're navigating full time every day, all day, school and softball. And so to expect them to also then do recruiting things can be tough if you haven't set them up for success by little baby steps each week. Yeah, I can see how that would be overwhelming.
So for our kids at the beginning of high school season, we send out a schedule of what weeks we want them to send emails, what we want them to talk about. So they're really just taking that plan and then executing it. So it makes it a little bit easier of, and sometimes we flip things. So for example, we had a kid where she was like, "Oh, I'm on spring break this week, so I'm gonna send emails the next week because I'll have more video to send and more to talk about." So they take that
Yeah.
template and plan and adjust it to their season. But
Okay.
then the family really has an idea of, okay, this is when we need to do this, so we're gonna plan to do this night. And the more you can plan, the easier it is to then execute throughout the year. And whether it's high school season or summer when you guys are on the road all the time and all the crazy.
Yeah, and we know that just from sports psychology research, behavior change, habit research. When you know the plan, though, when there is a plan that you know what to do when, it's significantly easier to make progress and to build habits because it's not vague. There's no wiggle room. It's nope, it's Wednesday at 5 o'clock. I'm gonna do this thing. So definitely applying that to the recruiting process as well. That's very successful. Okay. And so what would you recommend is the process for those family meetings, or what should parents and kids be doing together to make sure that they are in fact on the same page as it relates to this
Yeah.
recruiting
So
process?
one of the things that I love to do with our athletes and parents that always shocks them, I'll send the parent and the athlete the same questionnaire. And it will ask things like, what does the ideal college look like? What does the relationship with the college coach look like that you want? How far from home do you want to be? And go through a bunch of questions about their college experience. And I have the parent fill it out about their athlete, and then I have the athlete fill it out about themselves, and then we meet and we compare those two things.
Ooh.
And it really creates some good conversation between the parent and the athlete of, well, mom, why did you think I wanted this? You know, what are you thinking? And then the parent's like, would you really want to be that far from home? We wouldn't be able to come to as many games if you're that far. And it just creates some good conversation when they do that separately.
Yeah.
Because then there's no expectation of the kid writing a specific thing because
Yeah.
they know that's what mom or dad wants, or, and then we come together and talk about it.
Yeah.
I think that's a great conversation starter for a family of, okay, where are we at with all of this? Are we actually on the same page so we can move in the same direction, or are we just going to be kind of like fighting each other, going in different directions without even realizing it?
Yeah. And so, what do you recommend then if they aren't on the same page? What's the process there?
Yeah, so I think asking why a lot and asking why do you want to be 10 hours from home? Are you a Northeast kid that wants to go south? Well, do you know what that looks like? Do you know that you would come home less? Do you know that we wouldn't be able to come to games as much? And looking at some of those things. And I think it's really great for parents to do because you can really see where your athlete is at with things and seeing, okay, how realistic is my athlete right now? And I look at it like a funnel. So it's very easy as a middle school athlete, end of eighth grade, to have a lot of really, really big goals and dreams and have a ton of schools on your list. And then as we get older, we need to start to narrow down a little bit more to what makes the most sense and what's the most realistic. So it allows parents to see, okay, where is my athlete at versus where do they need to be in this process realistically too?
Okay. And I know because that's sometimes that's a tough sell because not every parent also knows where their kid falls in like the talent pool and where they fit. Are they more of a D3, D2? So what do you recommend for like if the kid and the parent have wildly different expectations and who's right, who's wrong? What do you recommend there?
Yeah, so I'm big on getting a trusted evaluation of where you potentially have the ability to play at. And I always say potential because you've always got a kid that wildly defies expectations or grows 7 inches in a year and you're like, where did this come from? Because then it's a third party, right? And we take some of the emotion out of it. So I do evaluations for athletes as somebody who coached at all three levels. And it's again a third party that's not emotionally invested in what level the kid plays at. I would say finding someone who has either college coaching experience or is at a lot of those top showcases. They understand the process. They know they can sit there and compare you to other athletes versus going to somebody that gives lessons very locally that's not really on a national level of comparing you to athletes. And again, it's more of like when I talk with a freshman, it's a very different conversation than when I talk with a junior because that freshman has a lot more room for growth still. For our freshmen, we have schools of all divisions on their list, just because we don't know yet. So we more look at schools based on coaching style and what they like out of a university and what types of campuses they like, and then really start to look more at athletic ability and major as they get a little bit older.
Yeah.
And really kind of looking at that. But I think definitely a third party outside of your usual circle of people. And so for me, like the kids I train, I send them to other people for that evaluation. Because I'm like, I see you every week. I'm very emotionally invested in you. I'm just too close sometimes to truly have that objective. Am I usually very close to the friend that I send them to? Absolutely.
Yes.
But it just separates the emotion from getting that evaluation.
Nice. Okay. And so this process sounds pretty amazing, that it's just creating dialogue. It's getting parents and kids on the same page. Have you ever had an experience where the kid wanted, like, the things that they wanted, they were realistic, right? But wildly different than what the parents would want for them. Probably to my mother's, poor mother's chagrin. I wanted to be nowhere near home. Like, I was like, get me out of California. I want to be away. And so I went to Minnesota, right, from California. I mean, a lot of that was because where offers were coming from, and it was the type of school I wanted to be at. So it did make sense for me, but my poor mother had to then deal with the cold when she got to come watch me, and she was freezing.
But she got on board, didn't she?
But what do you recommend? So if the kid is very passionate or very excited about something that is different than their parents' wants, it's still within reality, right? It's not something that's not unfeasible, but they have a different vision for themselves than maybe their parents do. What do you recommend there?
It's going to be a tough time for mom and dad, for sure. I think that's where, as parents, and I'm not a parent yet, so I feel very judgy as I say this, but it's important to remember that you are raising your child to be a very productive member of society outside of your family unit. And that as much as you want them to want what you want for them, and you probably want them close to home, and you want them to succeed no matter what, and all of those things, they have to start to figure it out for themselves too. And the thing I say to our parents is, I'm like, this is your kid's first adult decision, and they're making it before they're truly an adult, which is so hard. And you are going to guide them, and you are going to give them all the support you can give them. And if they get to that school and they realize it's the worst decision of their lives, the world will continue to spin.
Yes,
and
it's
you will
okay.
continue to figure it out with them, and you will continue to support them. I mean, I was that kid. I transferred after sophomore year. I was an upstate New York kid and went to school on Long Island and realized that New York City and Long Island were not my thing, which my parents knew.
Yeah,
they knew beforehand that I was not a Long Island kid or a New York City kid.
They knew that you needed to go figure that out and try
it out. Yep. And I went for 2 years. And after my sophomore year, I finally got the guts to call my mom and say, hey, I don't think this is for me. What do I do? And my parents were so supportive, and they were great about it, knowing probably that I was going to end up transferring, even though in high school, it sounded like the absolute best decision ever.
Yeah.
And that piece of it of, yes, softball is a huge part of life for you guys, and you're in it so much right now that it's hard to see that outside perspective. But if they get there and they realize it's not for them, you just help them pivot and make the next right decision for their life.
Nice. And allowing them that autonomy and that freedom to go make that choice is so important, because that lesson that they learn by going off by themselves and having to discover things, that is going to be so valuable to them in life, right? That one, learning that you can go try stuff and you're not going to be successful every time, and that's okay, but there's still a lot to learn. You probably had, I would imagine you had a lot of growth and development being away
Absolutely.
From home and on your own. And it's okay to realize, I don't like this. I can go back.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think athletics in general is such a small piece of like society, right? Like all of the lessons we're learning, whether it's high school athletics or college athletics, are completely translatable to the real world and jobs and life and all of that too.
Yeah. Very, very few decisions that we make are permanent. And so reminding folks that make the best decision you can with what information you have now, you'll see it play out. And when it plays out, you can make a new decision, and that's okay too.
For sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Quincy, so much for being a part of this series. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Where can people find you? How do they find more?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. You guys can head over to my podcast, Future First, Softball Second, and we really dive into all of the nitty gritty of everything that we're chatting about here in this last little few mini-sodes.
Yes, very awesome. All right, before we dive into our conversation prompts today, I just want to give another reminder that if you are enjoying this podcast, one, please share it with people in your life that you think would also enjoy it. But also, what would greatly help me is if you would be willing to leave a 5-star review. Your reviews and your feedback help this podcast move up and be seen by more people, and therefore more parents and kids in the youth sport environment can benefit from these conversations. So if you could take a moment to do that, it would be greatly appreciated. Now, let's dive into our conversations. So always the reminder, there are no wrong answers. Make sure you're taking turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question and discuss it, or you can listen to all the questions and just dive into what makes sense for you. All right, our first question of today. This one's particularly for the athletes, but if you could design your ideal college experience, what would it look like? And we're talking both on the field and off the field, or the court, or whatever sport it is that you play. What is that ideal picture of college for you, assuming that that's what you're interested in? And again, if you're a little bit too young to know that for sure right now, what are some things you definitely don't want? Okay, that might be another way to think about it. All right, so this is for the parents and kids to think about together, but do you feel like you're on the same page when it comes to your recruiting goals? What do you think you agree on? Where do you think you might be a little bit different as far as parent and kid? And just discuss, where are you guys at in that process? What parent, what types of things would you dream of, wish for your kid? Kid, again, what are you looking for? And are you all on the same page? All right, question three. What part of the recruiting process feels exciting to you? And maybe what part of the recruiting process feels really stressful? Okay, and this is for both parent and kid. We realize that you are both involved in this process. And so talk about it both. What parts are enjoyable? Which parts freak you out or stress you out? All right, and our final conversation prompt for today, your question. For the parents, or for the kids, I guess, we're asking you this as the adults. How can your parent better support you through this process without taking over too much? Okay, what do you think that would look like for you as a family? And again, that might be different for every family listening to this podcast, but what do you think is right for your family? All right, y'all, remember to keep those conversations rolling, and let's make sure those car rides count. Thank you so much for joining me on Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. If you found this episode helpful, again, please share it with at least one other parent or coach who you think might enjoy this particular episode. If you're looking for more weekly tips, mindset shifts, and other conversation starters, then please consider joining my Confident, Calm, and Clutch newsletter. Okay, that comes out weekly. And you can find that at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. If you have any suggestions for new topics that you would like to see or hear about, there's a link in the show notes that you can share your ideas with me, or you can always DM me directly via social media on Facebook or Instagram at @VAlstonCoaching. I absolutely look forward to hearing from you and creating episodes about topics that you really want to learn more about. All right, y'all, I hope you had a wonderful conversation. I will see you next time.